Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 51st weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, we spoke of some of the Arabs who became monotheists on being associated with the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Now, let's listen to the rest of the story. Abu Zar could not bear the scorching heat. He was a monotheist and not an idolater. On hearing of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, he formally became a Muslim. He wholeheartedly worshipped God Almighty while at times fainting under the sweltering heat throughout his prayers. In such instances, his brother Unais found him and came to his rescue. Abu Zar, after some rest, would once start praying to God. Ubaydullah says,
"One day I was accompanying Abu Zar. I asked him whether he prayed to God during the days of ignorance.
Abu Zar said,
'Yes, I did, dear Ubaydullah.'
'For whom?'
'Before the one and only creator of the world, God Almighty.'
'In what direction did you observe your prayers?'
'In any direction that God Almighty guided me.'
How did you find your righteous path among the members of Ghifar tribe, who were all idolaters?"
"It is a long story, dear Ubaydullah."
"Tell me about it. I'm interested to know." Then we sat under the shadow of a wall and he started his remarks.
"Dear Ubaydullah, my tribe was very poor. Their only belongings were a few herds of camels and goats. If there was sufficient rainfall, it would have been a prosperous year. However, if there was a drought that year, most of our livestock would die. In case of drought, tribal members would gather twigs, tie them in a cow's tail, and set them on fire. The frightened cow would start to run and bellow. The people considered the raging fire as a sign of lightning, and the cow's bellowing as a sign of thunder. They imagined that by such action, there would be rainfall. Once, when I witnessed a cow set on fire, I felt sorry for it. I started to wonder how could such a savage act bring about rainfall. Things happened as I had imagined. The cow burnt and fell down from the mountain, but there was no rain. Then the town crier called on everyone to prepare a sacrifice to take to the place of worship of the tribal idol, Manat. I took serious stock of the situation and could not believe in the idols my tribe had installed. However, I was yet to make a resolute decision to refuse to accompany my tribal members in such an act."
Abu Zar paused for a while as if he wanted to remember something. Then he continued his remarks.
Dear Ubaidullah, so the other day, me and my brother mounted on a camel and accompanied our tribal members, heading for the place of worship of the tribal idol Manat. After a few days, we reached that place, and each of the tribal members offered sacrifices to the idol. However, I abstained. Somebody had placed a jar of milk at the feet of the idol before we left. Whilst heading back home, I looked behind and saw a dog, which was drinking milk out of the jar. My brother Onais intended to drive the dog away. However, I prevented him from doing so, telling him that the deity doesn't need the support of an incapable servant. I urged my brother Onais to stay calm and see what was bound to happen. However, the dog didn't just drink the milk out of the jar, but after finishing the milk, it urinated before the idol and later happily left the scene. After watching this spectacle, I told Onais that how could the idol be a deity, whilst being even mistreated and disrespected by a dog? Onais contemplated over those incidents, whilst I was already a monotheist. Upon pondering over this matter, I observed a number of signs in the universe which guided me towards the one and only creator of the world, God Almighty. I realized that such a large and complicated world cannot be the creation of idols made by mankind. The world of creation should have a wise creator, although human eyes cannot encompass him. Also, no matter how hard we try, we could not understand all of God's signs without guidance from him. This is because God is omnipotent, and our understanding of him is highly restricted. So I tried hard to purify my soul. As a result of this, I was gradually enlightened and started to rejoice. I realized that I should use my wisdom to recognize God Almighty and to find who his messenger is. At this, my tribal members labeled me a disbeliever. Everyone, including young and old, rebuked me, with the exception of my brother and my mother. However, I courageously continued the path I had chosen. I was in this state for 3 years. One day, close to sunset, I was sitting next to the tent in despair. I saw a camel rider who was heading for Abwa. I told him to dismount and to take a rest for a while in our tent. He gladly accepted. He drank a glass of milk and rested for a while. I asked him about the things he had heard or seen. He said that he had come from Mecca, where certain astonishing developments have lately taken place. He said in Mecca a man had declared himself to be the prophet of the one and only God, and was preaching against idolatry and idol worship. Divine revelations descended upon him. I wanted to know more about the prophet, but the traveller didn't know anything else in this regard. After he left, I told this story to my brother Onais. The other day, I sent Onais to Mecca to personally see and meet this person who calls himself the prophet of God. I told him to listen to his words, take note of those words, and then relate to me whence returning home.
Abu Zar was praying under the sweltering heat when Onais returned from Mecca. However, Abu Zar was so deeply engaged in his prayers that didn't hear the sound of the hasty steps of the camel which was approaching him. He continued his prayers until the exhausted Onais dismounted the camel and called Abu Zar by name. At this moment in time, Abu Zar ended his prayers and responded his brother after a short pause. Onais had returned after his 18-day journey and his week-long stay in Mecca, to inform his brother about whatever he had seen and heard. Abu Zar had turned restless in those days, like an exhausted child who could not wait any longer. He had become so impatient that he could not bear even the remarks of his elderly mother, who was so dear to Abu Zar. He then realized that Onais had returned from Mecca. He opened up his arms and embraced his younger brother.
Welcome, dear Onais.
Thanks, dear brother.
I'm grateful to you because you have honored your brother and made every effort to fulfill your brother's demand.
Abu Zar kindly embraced his brother and led him toward a shadow next to the mountain.
Aren't you thirsty, dear brother?
No, I'm not. On the way back home, I visited mother, who offered me a glass of milk. Upon realizing that you were in pastures with the herd, I straight away headed towards this region.
Abu Zar kindly patted his brother on the shoulder and glanced at his innocent eyes.
I'm very grateful to you, dear brother. Now tell me what you have seen and what you have heard in Mecca.
Onais sat on a rock and took off his headdress. Then he wiped drops of sweat from his forehead with his sleeves and started to talk.
As you instructed, I made every effort to conceal my intention. Firstly, in Holy Kaaba, I observed the members of each tribe who gathered over there in the evenings. The remarks were mainly revolved around that man. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. His father passed away a couple of months prior to his birth. His mother, Amina, initially took care of him till she also passed away when her son was 6 years old. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, took him under his care, but 2 years later, he also passed away. His loving uncle, Abu Talib, then became custodian of his orphaned nephew.
Do you mean Abu Talib, the senior figure of the Quraysh tribe and Mecca?
Yes, dear brother, exactly. The person is called Muhammad, and at the age of 25, he married Khadija, the daughter of Khuwailid. Years before declaration of his mission, he had acquired the impeccable reputations of Sadiq, or the truthful, and Amin, or the trustworthy. His friends and enemies both put emphasis on his trustworthiness. This is because in the past 40 years, no one has seen any badness in his behavior and remarks. Hence, his tribal members still consider him to be pure and trustworthy, even though some of them have still not accepted his creed.
Did you see him, Onais?
Yes, I saw him on several occasions. He would approach the Holy Kaaba at sunset and also visited it at times in the morning. He wore simple and clean clothes draped by a cloak. He wears a turban and wears leather shoes. He looked charismatic, such that upon entering Holy Kaaba, people stared at him. He was relatively tall with broad shoulders. His arms are strong and long. He had a flat stomach. He had a radiant and beautiful countenance. His forehead was broad and he had a unibrow. He also had piercing eyes which captured the attention of the viewers. He had a thick black beard and always smiled. He also had white and glistening teeth. One day a group of men talked to him, and the opportunity was raised for me to hear his remarks. Upon speaking, he did not stare at the viewer. He had a commanding voice and spoke in a clear tone, with polite manner. When others spoke, he did not jump into their remarks.
Abu Zar was interested to listen to whatever was related to the Prophet and wondered whether this could be the promised messenger. Was he the one that Abu Zar had waited for so long? Dear listeners, many thanks for joining us in today's episode. Don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you and goodbye.